Well, just before, like the day before school was starting, I think it was a Sunday at my parents' house, I read an article in Esquire magazine called Fiction about these devices that do what you said, put some tones into any normal phone and make calls anywhere in the world, and that there's a group of engineers that are smarter than the phone company engineers driving around the company, setting up networks, trying to fix problems in Ma Bell, analyzing it, and they were like hackers exploring but finding things, you know, setting up their own networks that were better than Ma Bell's. I envisioned vans full of racks of computer equipment and everything, and the lead guy was Captain Crunch. I called Steve Jobs up halfway through the article and started reading it to him, and I said, Steve, there's something wrong. This doesn't sound like fiction. It sounds too real. It turns out that every word in that article was totally truthful, exactly what the people had said, exactly how they say it, and every detail in there was 100% exact, but it was called fiction because who would believe it was possible? Steve and I started questioning, is it fiction? That same day, we went down to Slack, we went to the technical library, we found a book that verified some of the data in the article, and now we knew the whole list of what tones cause what effects in the phone system.
That's where the multi-frequency tones.
Right? Right, the multi-frequency tones called MF, and we tried to build a quick blue box that would make a free phone call. We didn't quite succeed right then. We bought some parts at Sunnyvale Electronics for a little analog oscillator, but it kind of wavered in its tone, pitch, just too much for the to ever. We worked and worked, didn't get a call that day. I eventually designed a digital one, man, and I was so proud of it. I did things in that digital design, you know, with parts doing having three purposes instead of just two, and you know, when normal people would use them for one purpose. And the blue box finally worked and made a call, and we quickly rushed up to the dorm because we had told our parents what we were doing. We had told them all about blue boxes because it was such an interesting story that these guys sat out there and clamped into payphones and started setting up networks and dialing calls around the world to the next phone over and stuff like this. So our parents knew we were excited about it, and I didn't like holding things back from my parents, but they said, don't use our phone. So we went up to the dorm, and from then on, we used the dorm phone. And I had another philosophy that I would pay for my calls to my relatives, to my family. I would pay my phone, the cost of my phone, and I would only use the blue box to explore the world and see what countries I could get to, how I could talk operators into transferring calls around the world and so on, and pull the tricks, you know, for fun.
And I heard a rumor that one of those tricks was to actually call the Pope.
Yeah, Steve, well, what happened was I designed this great blue box, and we actually met Captain Crunch, and he taught us a bunch of codes. As a matter of fact, driving home that night, Steve's car broke down, generator broke down about midnight or 1 in the morning. We walked to a payphone. We tried to use the blue box to call Captain Crunch for a ride home, and the operator came back on the line. Steve hung up real quick. He was all scared. And he tried the blue box again. And the operator came on the line. He's all scared. Then the cops pulled up. They shone their flashlight in the bushes looking for drugs. And Steve passed the box to me. I got it in a pocket.
Right.
The cops felt me up. And they said, what's this? And I said, well, you push the buttons. It makes tones. It's an electronic music synthesizer. This was the year the Moog synthesizer had come out. The first electronic music synthesizer. The other cop comes over. He looks at it. What's this? Electronic music synthesizer. What's the orange button for? Steve Jobs said it's for calibration. So we knew the cops, we were dead, you know. We didn't know how much trouble we would get in. They said, what happened? Our car broke down. Okay, we got in the cop car behind the cops. This cop leaned over, handed me back the blue box, saying a guy named Moog beat you to it.
That's a great story. So, what was the orange button for?
The orange button was put out 2,600 cycles per second, a high E note. The second harmonic of the high E string on a guitar will seize a phone line and will hang up a long-distance call, and it would seize the equipment that would be listening for little tones telling it where the phone company, where to dial for you.
So what you'd do is you'd hit the orange button, it would emit this 2,600 hertz tone.
On a long-distance call, you would you'd click the orange button and go beep, beep. Beep, and you'd hear a beep, and then you could punch out your own little tones, just like a touch tone phone, but they were different tones, and it would dial. There were codes for how to reach an overseas sender, and then country codes, and the whole works.
Was there actually a code like you know how you can call your operator, and you're trying to get hold of your parents or somebody, and the phone is off the hook, and they could like pop in on the line?
One time, Captain Crunch actually showed us. He was famous for discovering the Captain Crunch whistle made that tone that seizes the phone line. One time he taught us a code, and I punched it out myself, and then I punched out the FBI in San Francisco's phone number, and I popped up listening to them talking about they were about to go out and arrest this one suspect and what he had done, and you know, it was a pretty sensitive call. Yeah, and you know, in the newspapers around those times, they had the phone company representative saying such a thing is not possible. Right. I'm sorry, I did it.
Well, I'm glad the statute of limitations happens to be over for that one. So, was there any other like cool things that you actually did with the Blue Box, or was that pretty much it?
Well, funny thing is, Steve Jobs came along. Every time I designed something neat, he would say, "Let's sell it." So we actually sold some door to door in the dorms. We had routines for determining if people were cool enough or not safe enough, you know. And we'd do demos and call all these countries. You know, we'd say everybody be back at 7 tonight in this room that knows somebody in another country, and we'd have a ball, and we sold one each time. And one time we actually, as part of a demo, we said, yeah, we could call the Pope, you know. And I called Italy inward, I got to Rome inward, I got to the Vatican inward, you know, operator, and told us Henry Kissinger calling with Richard Nixon in Moscow at the summit meeting and like to speak to the Pope. And they said, well, it's only 5:30 here, call back in an hour. So I called back and I said, "This is Henry Kissinger." I used my voice, you know, my accent. Right. And I got to talk to the bishop that was the highest up bishop that would be the translator. And he said, "You're not Henry Kissinger. I just spoke to Henry Kissinger."
Oh, my God.
So they checked me out.
Well, that's a, yeah, I heard.
Captain Crunch later said that I was calling the Pope to make a confession.
To make a confession. Yeah, I heard that Captain Crunch actually did this himself, but I think he actually reached the President of the White House.
I did not believe him for years and years and years. It was Nixon, and I didn't believe that he had reached the White House. I think it was Nixon, and he had tapped into a lot, found a couple of numbers that didn't have any explanation that were tappable in the Washington D.C. area, and he listened to one of these, and he heard people whenever they asked for Olympus, they got to the president. And so he learned to ask for Olympus. He called one day and said, "Olympus," and they put him through to Nixon or whoever the president was. And he said, "We have a problem in the bathroom. We're out of toilet paper."
Oh, my God. Need more Charmin. More Charmin in the bathroom.
And I actually believe him now. He's told that story enough times with enough realism that although I doubted it once, I actually believe that's true.